Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A good Friday morning to all of you listening, and thanks for doing so. We're Grant and Danny, and you're locked into The Fan. Excited to get an update from Nats spring training from Bob Carpenter of Masson before their first televised game.
We know that guy.
Of the spring. We've got a baseball game on TV tomorrow as the Astros and the Nationals make their spring training debuts. No storylines there, huh, Danny?
That's right. No intrigue at all. I mean, we're running promos on 106.7 The Fan for the spring training game, including trash cans and how awkward it is. If there's such a thing as must-see spring training, the last time there was must-see spring training games was when Bryce Harper was taking major league at-bats as a teenager. You'd put that up there. I mean, listen, nothing's going to happen. Max Scherzer's going to go throw an inning or two, and guys will get their ABs and get their work in and be jogging in the outfield. But still, man, it is weird. There are some subplots and backdrops to this one.
1 o'clock today, Brian Campbell, who writes about boxing for a living. I'm jacked up for the fight tomorrow. Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, a rematch of a pretty epic first bout that they had. It is stateside here in Vegas, so we can get to that and get a preview coming up in about 3 hours. This hour on Grant and Danny, you'll hear us discussing Jordan Reed's release by the Redskins in just a few. But Danny, I was curious. Didn't get to see you yesterday.
I know, buddy.
How was your Thursday?
It was very nice.
Successful?
Very nice. Yeah. We rearranged the entire thing. Your voice was acting, as they say, yesterday. You took a day off. Much deserved. I know you hate doing that, but it's good for you to do that, to rest and recoup.
I woke up with basically, I would say, half of a voice.
Yeah.
And just not an ability to speak without, like, coughing and hacking. And
right.
I said, today's not going to be the day.
What's worse? Your voice or how the Capitals are playing?
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. I'll say the Capitals because how do you lose to Montreal?
Well, it's not like they've lost six straight. Oh, wait, they had.
That was your get-right game.
It's supposed to be.
That was the game that's a gift-wrapped present under the tree. Hey, you just got back from being out west. Hey, you're losing way more than you should.
Here's a softball for
you. Don't worry that the Penguins caught you. You get Montreal, and Ovi's going to score a couple, and you're going to score six goals, and everyone's going to be happy, and he'll get 700 on a night where everybody gets fat. Or you just lose to the Canadiens. How about that? That was bad last night. We got to talk about them, too. They're worrying me here.
Yeah, people should be concerned. Doesn't mean you panic, but it's okay to be concerned.
How could you not be? They've lost 5 out of 6 at home, 5 out of 6 overall.
7 out of 10 overall, right?
And, yeah, 7 out of 10 overall, but how about the fact that basically a quarter of a year. So if you go back to December 23rd, think about what you were doing like as a celebration or a party or what you did on Christmas Eve, okay? From that night to now, the Capitals are under 500. The only reason that they are tied with the Penguins for first place was that they were playing at a borderline historic rate before that.
Mm-hmm.
They were so good, and they buoyed themselves so substantially with an outstanding first couple of months. That the fact that since Christmas till now, they've basically been the worst team in the Metro Division still only has them tied for first place rather than being, you know, a lot of teams have that stretch. You're out of the playoffs.
Right.
The Capitals are easily in the playoffs.
They
just
put
because
enough money in the
they
bank.
They
were yeah.
so good early on.
Yeah, they put
God.
Enough money in the bank. They were the best in their history, and their history includes President's Trophies and the Stanley Cup and, you know, some great, incredible records. They were ahead of those paces. And those deposits in the bank allowed them to be on cruise control here and basically be a 500 club for almost 2 months now. So, yeah, it's okay to be concerned. It's okay to ask questions, right? Like, listen, I don't know what I don't know. But to me, when you're trying to do nothing but, I say throw, it's not a throw, but like use long cross ice passes that everybody seems to know what's coming. You turn the puck over in the neutral zone every night. Maybe there's a systemic issue. Maybe it's more than just, oh, the players didn't execute. That old sort of refrain.
Well, it's both ends of the ice, right? Because they've got four goals once in their last seven games.
Mm-hmm.
And they also just break down constantly in front of either Braden Holtby, who's taken over as the starting goaltender again, or more recently, Ilya Samsonov. Last night, Holtby had two breakaways in the first several minutes, three in the first period and change. Very easily could have been blown out on home ice by a bad team. Luckily, they weren't. And they got a point, kind of a hero point, if you will, from Tom Wilson scoring a goal with 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
Or else they still wouldn't have caught the Penguins on a night where they got shut out by Toronto. We'll get to the Caps a little bit later on. Got to start with Jordan Reed, so let's do that now. It is official. He did clear from concussion protocol and almost immediately was informed that he would be released. And that technicality came down yesterday as he has now been waived by the Washington Redskins. We all expected this. We knew it was going to happen. News came out yesterday at about 5 o'clock from Field Yates of ESPN. The last concussion he suffered in Washington, a helmet-to-helmet hit in August during preseason Game 3, cost him the entire 2019 season. When his clearance from the protocol came down, we knew that it was only a matter of time before he was going to be waived. By releasing him, the Redskins save $8.5 million in cap space. They now have one of the top 10 cap situations in terms of space in all of football.
Despite Alex Smith counting $21.4 million against that very same cap and not playing for them.
And
pretty
with
amazing.
Some dead money. Not a lot of dead money, but with each of these moves they're making where they're cutting these guys, they're eating some cash on this year's cap. Jordan Reed, as an example, costs $1.8 million in dead money with 2 years left still on his contract. It is such a shame to see this 29-year-old tight end who was so special and such a game-changing presence. He had a unique skill set. I covered him on the beat before taking over this show with you, and I just remember the way that Kyle Shanahan talked about him. Mike Shanahan raved about him. Sean McVay salivated and licked his lips when talking about Jordan Reed. Like some 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid talks about their favorite star whose poster is on their wall. I think people forget a little bit, Danny. Late 2015, when Kirk Cousins got on a roll and the Redskins won the division, Jordan Reed was uncoverable. He was one of the great weapons in the league in the second half of that year. He was Kelsey. He was Kittle. 2016 Jordan Reed, when Cousins threw for almost 5,000 yards, Jordan Reed was Gronk. I mean, you're talking about the best tight ends in this game. The Redskins finally had a guy. They haven't had an all-pro on the first team since 1996. They had a guy who was in that vicinity when he was healthy, and it all came crashing down like this.
Yep.
Almost overnight, he became a shell of himself, and then it just became sad, honestly. Just wondering,
yeah, it was.
Is he going to play again? Is he still having concussion symptoms months later? Should he just retire? He was so good. Recently, too. 15-16. I mean, it's only four seasons ago that we're talking about him at 25 years old, having 8 or 9 years left, or if you're Antonio Gates, who knows, 15 years left, where you dominate the National Football League. And it was all taken away.
Yeah, 2015-2016, right? His per game, you know, totals were elite. They were outstanding. This was a really, really good player. 952 yards in 14 games in 2015, 686 in 12 games in 2016. Only times he topped 600 yards in his career. Only time he topped 60 receptions in his career. The rest of it was waiting for whatever that was. And as a Redskins fan, I've been tired of waiting for a while now. I got tired. I could spin two plates. We talked about this yesterday, Jeeps, while you were out. As the guy that sits in this room is the quote-unquote analyst, I'm just a guy that spouts my opinions, but I can go, I feel terrible for him. The talent was there. We know this. We know the effectiveness. And schematically, he was, you know, really, really effective going up against safeties, going up against linebackers, et cetera. Redskins fan Danny that reads all the articles and consumes all the information about my favorite team is so sick of this. I'm just so tired of the oft-injured, but this one's different because he changed his diet. This one's different because he took ballet. This one's different because he did some new kind of plyometric exercise with this trainer. Enough. You just can't wait for this anymore. 4 years ago it happened. We've been chasing a ghost ever since. It was time.
There's no doubt it was time. I mean, I don't think anybody would refute that. You mentioned that 2016 season where he played basically three quarters of a year, right? He played 12 games. If you take those numbers and you break out the calculator and you figure out over 16 what he would have done, he would have had 88 catches for 915 yards. That's the territory that is reserved for Kelce, Kittle, maybe Greg Olsen at his best. You mentioned 87 catches for 952 in 2015. He missed two games. I fairly regularly go back and look at his December in 2015 just to remind myself of what he was.
He's an 1,100-yard receiver with about 100 catches in 2015. That was the pace he was on.
Tight ends don't do that. But specific to December, when the Redskins went 4-0 and got to 9-7 and made the playoffs, he had a 9-catch, 120-yard game with a touchdown against the Bears. He had a 7-catch game with two touchdowns against the Bills when he went for 84. That Eagles game where Cousins threw for 400 yards and they won going away, hung 40 points in a division title game in Week 16. He had 9 balls, 129, and 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Think about that. 9 for 129 and 2. And on that night, like December 26th, the day after Christmas in 2015, I thought the Redskins have unearthed, finally, one of the great weapons in the National Football League.
Yep.
And that was as good as it got.
Doesn't matter that he can't block. You can't stop him.
There's no covering this guy. His footwork, his route running, it's exceptional. There's nobody else like him right now on this planet other than a dude who's no longer with us, tragically, but who was in prison for murder. And that was Aaron Hernandez. He was the only guy with Reed's skill set, really, at that time in the National Football League mix. Here's the question I think we should start with, though, Danny. If we name Sean Taylor and Robert Griffin the captains of the what could have been team for the Redskins that Jordan Reed played on. So we would ask that you skip Taylor and Griffin because they're so obvious, and that would end the conversation right there. Who else is on Reed's what could have been team that is captained by those two, Griffin and Taylor, for very different reasons? Redskins that could have been, that we'll look back and say, man, if only. And maybe it's not just an injury. Maybe it was a trade or acquisition or a change in scheme or what have you. Who else is on the Redskins all-time what could have been team? Because I think Jordan Reed should be there.
Jordan Reed's on the team.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
My guys over at Ted Burt Ford are celebrating over 60 years in the business. 60 years. 60-plus years in the business. You don't get to 60 years through luck. You don't get there just by accident. You get there because you do what you do at the highest level possible. So congrats to them on serving D.C., Maryland, and Virginia for over 60 years. They're great. Here's what they'll do. Get you more for your trade-in. Have 120% Kelley Blue Book value for that trade-in. That's not a special. That's not this Sunday only. That's every day, all the time. And when you buy from Ted Burt Ford, you get confidence for life. That includes powertrain, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair, nitro tire fill, and complimentary Virginia State inspection all for life. No more trying to find a gas station with an open bay. You can get it all done in one fell swoop. Go see my guys at Ted Burt Ford. And when you go to Ted Burt Ford, you'll experience some unbelievable deals. Like, I don't know, $15,500 off the MSRP on a 2019 F-150. That's unbelievable. You got to go see my pals at Ted Burt, as I said. Fairfax Chantilly. Click away at TedBurt.com. When you go, tell them.
Over the middle, touchdown, Jordan Reed. And it quiets the crowd in Philly. A strike from Cousins.
Ian Eagle, always good to hear him on the call. CBS television. Cousins to Reed, we heard that once or twice. 15, 16, 17. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. I just hope that people in the end remember Jordan Reed for the spike, even though it was a short time. He reminds me almost of a singer or a entertainer Maybe he only had a couple of hits and burned out quickly, but they were smash-olas. And 10 or 12 years from now, my guess is when Jordan Reed comes up, the story's going to be, oh, he was the guy with the concussions, right? Or, oh, yeah, he was that tight end who was always hurt and never played. And there's going to be a little bit of this anguish or, you know, a disheartened feeling like you have when you kept hearing over and over again, he's going to be okay, he's going to be okay. I'd prefer the lead to be, man, he was special for a short time. I really wish we could have seen where that was going. It's like seeing 10 minutes of a movie that then we didn't get to see the rest of it.
Yeah. Or the rest of it, the projector broke, or the rest of it, the sound was turned off, or whatever it was.
That ever happened to you in a theater? You're sitting there, and you don't get to finish the movie, and they got to give you, like, a coupon for next time?
I don't want a coupon. I want the movie. Figure that part out. Take me to another theater. Figure it out. Because we saw a lot, and what a lot of it was not special. You know what I mean? We had two special years, really a year and three quarters. Everything surrounding that was not special. And there was a lot of assuming that the smaller sample size, not assuming, but you would go, see, this is what's possible. This is what's possible. It's why it's worth waiting for. And eventually it just became not worth waiting for. And that was 4 years ago, which is an eternity in the NFL. Man, it's sad.
It started really in 2014. You know, because if you're around the team like I was for a while, you heard the whispers of, we have to find a way to involve this guy. But like 2014, Reed had an 8-catch, 92-yard game against Cardinals. My favorite Redskin of all time is Chris Cooley. I still have a relationship with him. As great as Cooley was, like 8 for 92 would have been career day type stuff for him. He did that a handful of times, as good as he was. He had a game against the Colts. I don't know if you'll remember this, where it was actually a game where they got blown out and Colt McCoy came in and threw for a bunch of yards. Jordan Reed had 9 catches for 123 yards in 2014 against the Colts. So before his epic year in 15, he had those flashes. 9 catches for 70 yards in week 17 against the Cowboys. Where that year you saw, okay, what Shanahan was saying, what Sean McVay was saying, they're right. And it all started when McVay took over as the offensive coordinator, as the former tight ends coach. Who else is on the Redskins all-time what could have been team? And it's captained by Griffin, and it's captained by Sean Taylor, so skip those answers. Let's go to Martin in West Virginia on G&D. Hey, Martin, how are you?
Good, how you guys doing?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, the obvious choice would be Champ Bailey. But do you guys remember, of course, Stephen A., remember Frank Wycheck?
Yeah.
Went to the University of Maryland. Great, like, tight end with the Titans.
He played like 10 years. He played 10 years with Tennessee. He was a pretty good tight end, I think.
Yes. Was he ever with the Redskins?
He was drafted by the Redskins. He played, I think, a couple of years with them.
Really? I would have bet against that. Is that right, Danny?
I don't remember that. Why don't I remember that? He was?
Wow, good call. I had no idea. Dar's saying that checks out.
I mean, the one I remember is Keenan McCardell, drafted by the Redskins. Never got off the practice squad and then went to Jacksonville and became a really good player.
Okay, so I'm looking at this.
How about that?
Wycheck played 9 games with the Skins in 93 and caught 16 passes and 7 passes in 9 games in 94 before going to the then Houston Oilers. His first year in Houston, huge spike in productivity as he started full-time and caught 40 balls and eventually turned into one of the better tight ends in football.
So I'm embarrassed by that because my answer, my first one that comes to mind with this, I have a couple big picture ones, was from 1993. Reggie Brooks from Notre Dame. As a rookie, only little over 200 carries, averaged about 5 yards a pop, well over 1,000 yards as a rookie. And he looked like the next big thing. He was so fast. He was quick. Richie Pettibone, it was a disaster. They went 4-12 and they were awful. New coach comes in to throw over Eugene, and for whatever reason, Reggie Brooks fell off a cliff. I don't know what happened. I don't know why. You'll never get me to understand it specifically. But that dude, I remember, I kept telling everybody at school. It was in the newspapers, in the Washington Post. They have to line him up further deep in the backfield because he's too fast. You know, because the timing of plays was disrupted because he was too
quick. 1,000 yards on 223 carries, basically 5 a pop.
And then never again.
College football, like Big 12 running back stuff. And then you just didn't see it. He played a little bit the next year in 94. He didn't really play at all in 95. Finished his career with the Bucs in 96, and he was gone.
Just gone.
It's good.
What happened? What happened?
What could have been team? Reggie Brooks. I like that. 800-636-1067. I feel bad I didn't know Wycheck was a Redskin because I've always really liked his career.
I should have known.
I was five, so I don't remember that 93 Redskins team that well.
Well, it was forgettable. I mean, it was. Well, this guy was the top lieutenant. Let's just let him take over for Joe Gibbs. Oh, my God, Richie Pettibone, what's happening?
3-13 is what's happening.
Oh, we're terrible.
Let's go to James and Marshall on G&D. What's up, James?
Hey, James.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, put Jason Campbell on that list. I mean, imagine if he had consistency at coaching and an offensive line that could have kept him upright.
So I think he could have been better, no doubt. And I think he could have been maybe a respectable starter. He just doesn't pass the eye test for me. And he got other opportunities later on, and maybe the damage was already done. But a lot of times when you move on and it still doesn't happen, I think it damages the idea of maybe it should have happened here. He went to the Raiders and he had some success. But he had kind of like 22 touchdowns, 12 picks written all over him, where to me, he's never going to turn the ball over, but he's never also going to make a lot of plays off schedule. He was the ultimate hold the ball, hold the ball, hold the ball, wind up for 16 seconds, throw the ball to the wide open receiver who's clapping guy.
Yeah, not terribly well suited for the quick passing game of the West Coast offense, right?
No.
The ball's got to come out quick.
But as far as Jason Campbell goes, was he damaged by being here?
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind.
What was it, four offensive coordinators or five he had to deal with?
As many seasons as he had.
Unbelievable.
That many. Let's go to Kevin in Hagerstown. You're on Kevin. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're looking for players on the Redskins all-time what could have been team.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, dude.
Grant, good hearing your voice again. And Danny, you and Pete really rocked it yesterday.
I appreciate you, dude.
I have two, and then I'll hang up and you guys can ponder on. But Kirk Cousins, if they would have just gotten that contract situation straightened out years before that. And second, possibly Albert Morris.
Alfred Morris Thanks, is buddy. An interesting one. Thank you. I mean, the back-to-back years to start his career were fairly iconic, 1,600, 1,300 yards. The way I think you label that as what could have been is if Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan stay here.
They're still making music together, yeah.
He was a perfect fit in that offense. Also, add to the hypotheticals, if Robert Griffin continued to want to run read option rather than demanding that he wanted to be a pocket passer when he wasn't ready to be. If those things continue, why couldn't Alfred Morris continue to have thrived? We can get back into this and tackle some more of these names a little bit later on. You can also tweet us if you'd like.
At Funny Danny for me, at Grant H. Paulson for Jeeps.
What's your sports weakness? Like the thing that you know you shouldn't care about and the thing that 95% of the time in sports you don't, but then something happens and you always come crawling back to it. This weekend is mine. I'm going to explain next on G&D. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. The biggest sporting event this weekend is a boxing match between Deontay Wilder, who was actually on our show, weirdly enough.
We've had him on at the Super Bowl.
From the Super Bowl, he was one of the nicest guys we've ever had on the show.
Remember, he used to go to the Super Bowl?
One of the largest men who's ever been on our show. And he's fighting Tyson Fury in a rematch of what was a pretty epic first bout between these two. Wilder is 42-0-1. He's 34 years old. He's from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Max Kellerman, who is on ESPN, and he does that terrible show with Stephen A. Smith, but he actually is somewhat of a boxing savant, and that's how he cut his teeth.
Yeah, he really knows boxing.
He said he's the single most devastating knockout punch in his arsenal in the history of boxing. I mean, Wilder squares you up, it's curtains, good night, you're looking up at the stars and someone's helping you up off the canvas, unless you're Tyson Fury, who twice got knocked down by him in their last fight, which was a draw. And twice got up, even once. He was out cold. Legitimately, Danny, it looked like his night was over. He was unconscious. And before that 10 count, he stood up and kept fighting. I gained so much respect for him as a fighter that night. He's from Manchester, England. He's 6'9". And in terms of, you know, personality, he is a booming kind of industry of his own now. He is a charismatic person. He's a wacky. He said terrible things in the past. He's kind of come back from dark places, as he said. He dealt with depression. He was out of boxing. He supposedly blossomed up to about 400 pounds and got back to a fighting weight, literally and figuratively, to take on Wilder the first time. So the backdrop is that they met in December of 18, and the show at the Staples Center was memorable. And after Fury survived the couple of big right hands, he got a 12th round split decision draw in a fight that he probably won, if not for those two knockdowns, mm-hmm. so to speak. It was definitely the most trouble Wilder's been in a long, long time. So that is kind of the lead up to MGM Grand in Vegas tomorrow night, 9 Eastern. Wilder is the minimal favorite in this fight. It's an $80 pay-per-view. A lot of people are going to be watching. It's all over the joint. ESPN Plus, Fox, Fox Sports Go, you name it, you can get it. Wilder, highest knockout percentage of any heavyweight champion, 95%. Fury, the only fighter he's never knocked out. Okay, so there's your fight. That's what you got tomorrow. Now, I know that you pretty much hate boxing. Is that fair or no?
I don't think I hate it.
It's irrelevant to you?
Yeah, it's not. To me, boxing, the world moved on, and there's a small little portion of people that want it to be great again and are suckers that buy pay-per-views.
Right.
Like, the model of sports has eclipsed this, right, where you get the two best teams in the NFL play in the Super Bowl, or they go through a bracket. The two best teams in college basketball, they go through the bracket. In boxing, it's, well, what fight's going to make the most money? We're going to hold off. We don't think that the Patriots and Chargers is the best matchup. We're going to have the Giants face off the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. They don't have the rule of law in the sport anymore. And the world has moved on, except there's still enough pageantry. There's still enough hype.
I think there's
around
a romanticism.
This. There's a romanticism to it.
Based on nostalgia, based on this is a sport that will withstand the test of time because everyone's going to run to the cafeteria when they know two kids are fighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I am largely with you on boxing and on some of what you just said. But here is the hole that can be punched in that theory of basically boxing being dead is occasionally you do get the fight that everybody wants. It's very rare.
Yeah, it happens.
But occasionally you get the fight of the two guys that everybody wants to see go at it who are 1 and 2 in their division. And that's what this is. And that brings me to this point. These types of fights are my sports weakness, if you will. So follow me down this path for a second. For the rest of the year, I largely don't care about boxing.
But you're going to spend the money here.
100%.
Yep.
I will rent this pay-per-view for 80 or 100 or 125 bucks, whatever it costs. In fact, for this particular fight, I'm going to the Green Turtle by where I live in the Springfield area to watch it because I know that they've got it and they'll have it on big screen with the audio and I'll get a table and it'll be a great time. But if I wasn't doing that, I'd absolutely be renting this fight at home. I'd be buying this fight. I readily admit that boxing is incredibly flawed, that it is at best terribly run and does not give you what you want.
Mm-hmm.
At worst, I would say it's completely corrupt and at times fixed is maybe too strong of a word.
But that's how it feels. When
like predetermined.
Yeah, when two people are fighting and we go, oh, looks like we're going to have a rematch, it's just hard not to feel like you got cheated. Right?
Agreed.
Where it's like we're going to do another pay grab, another money grab rather.
But this is my sports weakness. I was the idiot who bought McGregor fighting Mayweather.
Uh-huh.
I knew that fight wasn't going to be great. And for the record, it dramatically exceeded my expectations. Because McGregor actually boxed better than I thought. And Mayweather, for several rounds, kind of allowed him to do that. Mm-hmm. And then eventually wore him down, like he does in most of his fights. I would never buy a Mayweather fight ever in a million years if he's not fighting like Pacquiao in his prime, which never happened. I got the fight that they got way too late after Mayweather stopped dodging him for a bunch of years. And McGregor, because it was a circus act and it was a lot of fun. But again, they got me. This is my weakness.
Mm-hmm.
But Danny, I'm the dude that if you show me a HBO, Liv Schreiber narrated 24/7 on like two heavyweights that I don't know much about, I'll probably buy that fight. I'll get in on that 1 hour documentary leading up to the fight. I'll go, well, now I got to see. These dudes are talking so much trash. I'm not a complete sucker in terms of the weigh-ins where Wilder's pushing Fury. Like, that's all for show, and I know that. That's WWF, basically, more than it is boxing.
Right.
It's not like I'm like, oh, these guys are pushing each other. They must really hate each other. But this is the second fight. There probably won't be a third. It's heavyweight boxing. This is what I watch more than the other stuff. Those other guys that kind of hit each other the whole time and no one falls down. And everyone loves it because of the craftsmanship and how beautiful it is. That's nothing for me.
Right.
I want to see these big-ass dudes throwing bricks for fists when someone's going to fall hard. So I'm in. This is my sports weakness. Does that make any sense?
It makes perfect sense. Meaning, you know everything. You know going in that you're going to get cheated. You know going in that it's never going to be worth it. You know going in that there are going to be 99 preliminary fights for people you never heard of, and it's going to take forever, and the actual match you want to see won't start until 12:16
Eastern Standard. I'll fast forward through almost all of those. Yeah.
Right? You know it. And yet, you're going to fork over the dollars.
And
you're
going to
fork
be there.
Over the money.
I'm going to be watching. It's only a few times a year, though. They're not going to sucker me in with other stuff.
Mm.
But I would say, I could go back in time and say, the last time I was excited was, it's probably the first time these two guys fought. Number one, it's just when you get the fight you want, which you talk about, we rarely get.
Yep.
Number two, for me, the prereq is almost that it has to be heavyweights unless it's something really unique. McGregor, Mayweather, Mayweather, Pacquiao.
Like a Roy Jones in his prime or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But this is my sports weakness. So I want to know from you, Danny, what is yours? And we can get into that next. And we should also take some calls on this at 800-636-1067. The huge fight that probably will not satisfy me, that almost certainly will leave me thinking less about boxing than before. Because I would say more often than not, that is the case for me. I'm going to buy it again. This is my weakness as a sports fan. What do you normally not like that you always come back crawling back for? 800-636-1067. Bob Carpenter on the Nats at 11. At 11:18 today, the owners have approved the new CBA idea in the NFL. Players vote next. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Myself a boxing fan, but when big fights happen, I watch them. I don't know what that makes me. A sucker, perhaps?
That's my word for it.
But you don't like boxing at all.
Because,
I don't dislike boxing like you dislike
well,
boxing.
Well, again, I don't know that I necessarily dislike it. I've been burned enough times where I go, you're not going to get me anymore. You know what I mean?
Right,
like I object to everything that goes into it.
There are fights that are not bad. There are fights that are worth your time. And I'm saying I kind of pick and choose my spots. Now, I'll admit, sucker is a great way to describe what I did for McGregor and Mayweather. Those are two fairly deplorable human beings who don't deserve a penny from me, and I gave them that money to see a stupid fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what I was doing going in, but it was an excuse for me to have 10 or 12 friends over at the house and eat a bunch of fried foods and watch something on TV and enjoy our time. But yeah, I was a sucker there. I don't think I'm a sucker for wanting to watch Wilder, who is one of the best ever at what he does, 42-0-1, at 34. Who knows how many great Wilder fights we have left. And Fury, who's 29-0-1. Two guys who have never lost before, who already put on one really good fight, who don't like each other, who are heavyweights, where there's a better chance than not that one of these two dudes could get knocked out. Although I don't think Wilder could get knocked out. If he loses this fight, I think it's going to be that Fury wins more rounds, because I don't know that he's got the power to knock him out. But regardless, here we are. This is my guilty pleasure. This is my sports weakness. I always get lulled back in for the big fight. Danny, what is the thing for you that you'd label in this category where the vast majority of the year you just don't care, but they've got you right where they want you?
USA. When you put United States of America on a jersey, your pal watches it. Barely matters what the sport is. I, with all due respect, I'm not going to watch a single, I don't even know what the league is called, the Washington Spirit. It's not for me. I'm not into it. I don't care. I don't care about a lot of things. I'll watch the Women's World Cup, though, and I'll be cheering with my pom-poms out. I'm going nuts when Brandi Chastain went upper 90 for the World Cup winning goal and took her shirt off. Yes, man, bring me that. Bring me World Cup championships. I think golf on TV is the dumbest thing in the world that people do. President's Cup, Ryder Cup, USA is on the jersey. I'm in. Badminton, curling, Olympic sports, whatever the hell it is, if you put United States on a jersey and let us compete against other nations, your pal's into it. I care. Little League World Series time. I couldn't tell you the difference between the team from Ashburn or the team from Connecticut or whoever, but that final game where
that's
it says USA
one.
On it, I'm watching it. If it says America, I watch.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I don't know if it's different for me because I covered that event years and years ago as a kid in Williamsport, and I was there for multiple years seeing those games and going up to the Grove and seeing how the kids stay, and really, really a neat experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I still look back on that with great nostalgia, and it was one of the happiest times of my life to be 13, 14 years old broadcasting those games for ABC Sports. Maybe that's part of it, but I can't flip past those games. I would say that's kind of a guilty pleasure because if you asked me to watch a televised Little League baseball game 3 months before that, you'd have to pay me a whole lot of money.
Yeah, I'm not doing that, with all due respect to those kids.
Wendell is in Springfield. What's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. I was going to go preseason football, but as I thought more about it, it's definitely the NFL Combine. I really could care less, honestly, the stats or the numbers that the guys put up. But I find myself year in, year out, wanting to see who has the fastest 40 time and who can jump the highest.
The most bench reps.
NFL combine.
Oh, I'm in. It's a drug for me. I love it so much. And I love it even more because snarky people make fun of it. It now endears it even more to me. You know, where everyone's like, the underwear Olympics, this doesn't mean anything. It means so much to me. I love it. I love the exhibitions of athleticism. I love that this 1/1,000,000 of 1% at the upper crust of what human beings can do, I just get to watch it endlessly on my television. It's so fun for me.
There's a tweet here from someone saying, maybe preseason football, given I know it's horrendous and I still watch. The caller just mentioned preseason football as well. Does that qualify? Because it is massively mainstream, and if you're watching preseason football, it probably inherently means that you love the NFL. I'm going to say that it does for this reason. When you turn on the TV to watch that preseason game, you know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
And you know definitively that it's not going to be all that enjoyable, that it's kind of like homework, you know, research. It's busy work. It's filling out a sheet that the teacher told you had to fill out by a certain date. At some point, you're watching mediocre football with players you don't care a whole lot about who aren't going to be on the team a few weeks from then. I would say if you get excited for the fourth preseason game where you watch
that's right.
preseason games in their entirety.
You might be Grant Paulson.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. But if you love the fourth preseason game
yeah.
and you really enjoy watching the third and fourth quarter of preseason football for your team, that's a sports weakness, I would say, because you know that that's for me that the boxing thing is this way. I know that I shouldn't be doing this probably, and I know that I'm not going to get the juice for the squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
I will not get a return on my investment. Preseason football's that way, but you do it anyway. And that's how I would describe it.
I hate the preseason. I've been on record. I despise it. I think it should be eliminated pretty much altogether or at a minimum broken down to one game maybe. I think it's obsolete. It's from an era that's bygone where guys used to get fat and drink beer and smoke cigarettes in the offseason and they needed to get back in shape. It's over now. And yet, I need the data. The team's in uniform. They're showing up to the field. It's not like I'm not going to watch it. As much as I despise it as a fan and as someone that gets to sit in this chair, I still watch every second of those games. I do. I consume it. Who can play? I want to know.
A couple people are saying that there's various golf events that are their weakness. I could buy that if I give you Masters Sunday. I am not like, I mean, you have like a legit hatred for golf.
Yes, I do.
I don't really know where it comes from or why, but you really actively root against golf at all turns.
Yeah, I didn't used to hate it as much as I do now, but I certainly do.
I am impartial and don't really care. I'll play occasionally or I'll go to like Top Golf.
Yeah, it's a fun recreational activity.
I'm not going and playing 9 or 18 anytime in the next few months probably. I don't watch golf, but Masters Sunday, I would say of the last 10 years, probably 8 or 9 times I've invested a couple hours on the couch watching that final round as we come down those final furlong around the pike. And here we go. Who's going to win the Masters? Why do I care? If I don't care about golf, I don't really care about any of these golfers, why am I in any way intrigued who wins the Masters? That's a sports weakness.
That's a weakness, I would say, right?
Because I've been told my whole life that it's the Masters. Because it matters.
Because of the dumb piano music.
Because there's a cool
Jim Nance
sound.
Whisper talking.
That's a sports weakness.
Sports weakness.
You like one of those tournaments.
I like the Ryder Cup.
I
like the President's Cup.
That's the one.
Because you put USA on it. Again, golf on TV should never be talked about by anybody at any time. And yet, you put USA on the jersey, I'm going, oh, who are the captain's picks? How are they going to face off? Are they going to win the individual matches? What about best ball? I get excited about it. USA.
Sam says on Twitter, I've got to say, every time Winter Olympic curling is on, no matter the team, I'm glued. I cannot explain this, but it's riveting and I'm hooked.
I get it.
A lot of people say they love curling now. It's like a cool, fun thing.
Do you love curling, though?
It's like talking about mullets or, you know, something that makes you hip. Do you think Sam actually loves curling?
But does Sam know the rules?
I don't know.
I feel like no one's ever explained the rules ever. And people just sort of pretend to
know. You
know
why I think that is? I really believe this. I don't think the rules are complicated enough. I think it's almost like playing bocce. Like, does anyone ever explain the rules of bocce? Or do they just say, roll this thing as close to the other thing as possible? You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
I think
curling
is kind of that way.
The scoring. Nobody understands the scoring. Like, if I'm like, right now, Grant, you either double your money or you lose all your money.
Right.
Explain to me the scoring of curling. You go, you know what? I'd rather not play.
Zippy file.
There's no way you know.
I would guess it's just the closest to the pin, almost like a toss and bags type game. That's what I would assume.
I can't correct you. I have no idea. But everyone just sort of, they just kind of move on to the next little frame.
We got a Nats game on TV tomorrow. First time since they were, oh yeah, winning the World Series.
Ah, yes.
Bob Carpenter on the call for Masson from West Palm Beach tomorrow joins us next to give us a preview on Grand Canyon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.